You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
So awkward. And again, I did not realize, I forgot just how uncomfortable it is to experience that alongside my mother.
I had my hands over my eyes. It was just, I couldn't.
I have to keep remembering that you two are sitting next to each other.
Yes.
You are mother and son.
I think I've heard my mom talk about her sex life to me like 3 times.
As far as I know, they've had sex 4 times and it resulted in 4 children.
My parents are openly talking about it all the time. It's disgusting.
Welcome to Sex Talk with my mom. I'm Cam Potter.
And I'm Karen Lee Potter.
My mother is a sex expert, cougar, and the world's oldest living millennial.
My son is a stand-up comic, a mime, and a Buddhist clown.
Together we chat about sex. Mother, first of all, do you think that my voice is lower?
It sounds a little lower. Why?
I was re-listening to Zach Zimmerman, the interview we did with Zach Zimmerman last week.
And?
And his voice is so resonant and low. And I realized that I tend to speak up here.
You sound like a little elf, and you look like one right now.
Thank you.
Because you're wearing a red little stocking cap.
It's a little cold outside, so I decided to wear a beanie. But I'm going to try this, at least this intro, to really breathe from my gut.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that I was just going to ask you, speaking of
very tangential start.
What's up and coming? I was going to ask you if you could see yourself as a voice in Dipsy.
Oh, and that is a beautiful transition into what this show is about. So,
what is Dipsy?
First and foremost, Sex Talk with My Mom is this podcast where we talk about sex twice a week, Mondays and Thursdays. On Thursdays, we interview our wonderful guests. And today is no exception. And on Mondays, it's a morning after show where we respond to your comments and questions. And you can text us at Yes Text Mom. Is my voice pretty relaxing right now?
You sound so relaxing that actually, I'd like to know. Do you think your voice would be appropriate for a reading of an erotic novel?
Okay, so yes, I do.
Yes, you do.
In this situation, I can.
I think you were trying to get the owner of Dipsy to hire you.
I would like to be hired.
So, I knew it.
So our special guest this week is Gina Gutierrez, who is a co-founder of an app called Dipsy. And Dipsy basically puts out short audio erotica, primarily designed for women, but anyone could enjoy this. And in this episode, you will hear a little sample from one of their stories, and you will get to compare it with phone sex operator that came on our podcast a couple years ago.
It was more, we play both clips and
because they kind of act as good foils for one another.
Yes,
you can
very
kind of
different.
Compare the two to be like, oh, this is how erotica is different from porn or phone sex or something like that. Pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing, and it's also very awkward.
The phone sex operator?
Both of them were a little uncomfortable sitting next to you in a room. It's just awkward.
It was very awkward.
But it's even more awkward. Which of the two was more awkward?
Phone sex is more awkward.
And why do you think that is?
Probably because it was more like, because it was a real conversation that we experienced.
A conversation. She was having an orgasm and yipping.
It was also, yeah, it was much more an intense it was 5 flames, if you will.
Yeah.
5 out of 5 flames.
Well, yeah,
app, Dipsy, allows, it kind of categorizes its stories by how intense the sexuality is.
Yeah.
And 5 flames is the most you can get.
Well, what is interesting, though, also, is that we just recently did a live stream on Instagram where we read an erotic novel. Actually, you and I read it out loud, and then we kind of like discussed it and made fun of it in mm-hmm. some respects. And so this then is like, I want to say this, and since you won't let me title this episode, I'm going to say it's called Make Erotica Great Again. And the reason I say that is because I used to love erotica.
It is the resurgence of erotica.
Yeah. And that's what's so cool about it. But it's different than like an audible book.
Right. And I think this app is pretty groundbreaking. I think it's a wonderful approach, especially for women if they're excited about. I can bring up a little stat that they gave me, actually.
Yeah, what stat?
Research shows that 90% of women use mental framing or scenario conjuring to get turned on. Yet most of the innovation and investment in female pleasure has been focused on the body rather than the brain. meaning like they're coming up with like new vibrators and stuff like that, or
yeah,
as opposed to realizing, hold on, Eros exists between the ears, yes, not between the legs.
Yes.
Yes.
I've been saying that forever, haven't I?
Also, my friend's therapist has been saying that forever, which is then repeated to me.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's all about the brain. And women especially, that's what I find interesting. I think men are visual and women are more into like this mental fantasy thing.
Men are more visual, meaning?
Men like to see like the let's just bang it out thing.
I think for me, it kind of divided between it's more of a mental game for the majority of women versus a physical game for the majority of men. Like if a guy saw like a, I don't know, I guess it depends what you're interested in, how your mind works, but it's a very physical thing for most men. Whereas for women, and this is very general statements, it's more contextual in that, like that's why it's important to make a scenario.
Well, it's what's really cool is you can use these books. These Audible, they're not really even books. They're more like little acted out scenes.
By the way, it's not on Audible. It's
no, I'm saying you audio. Can look Audible audio. I made a little technical error there. Okay, so you can take these scenarios,
mm-hmm,
and play them with your partner.
Yeah, you can play with your partner. I would use it to get in the mood. I was using this while I was brushing my own teeth.
That is so bizarre. Who does that to get in the mood? Why are you, would you have to get in the mood to brush your teeth?
No, I was brushing my teeth while trying to get into the mood.
This is like what your problem is.
What is that?
You're overworked.
I am overworked.
You can't even allow yourself time to separate teeth brushing from listening to erotica.
I was luckily not even peeing during that time. Sometimes that occurs. Could you imagine if I was trying to pee, brush my teeth, and listen to erotica at the same time?
Yes, and I do the same thing. I walk around. I don't even go on my computer, my laptop. I bring the laptop into the toilet while I'm peeing.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine if one day I dropped the laptop in the toilet?
Oy, oy, oy.
But this is our personality. It's type A. We got to work on this. This is another goal for this year.
So
multitasking.
Some of the other topics that we discuss are the differences between the way we process things, like porn versus erotica. We also chat about what turns women on versus men.
Well, that's kind of what we just talked about.
We talk about the pitfalls of porn.
Yes.
And we talk about how Dipsy chooses to narrate, write, and produce and publish these erotica stories, which I thought was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's amazing that you're trying to talk in a very low voice, very slowly.
Is it kind of ruining the flow?
It is annoying the shit out of me.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Be yourself. I don't like this new mellow cam.
Oh, wow.
Speaking of mellow cams,
I would love to know our listeners' response.
Yeah.
Because there's something humorous about me talking in a more
elf-like manner.
Like high pitch, faster pace.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I can't talk very quickly in a low, relaxed tone.
How about the guy that told me I should get rid of my accent, the nerve?
Yeah, some guy that we talked with about a potential TV show. This is a while ago. He said, everything looks great about your show. The one thing we need to change is that, Karen Lee, you have to lose that accent. That was the last, those were the last words of our discussion with
him. Fuck that guy. Okay. But anyway, let's get on with the show. We got a review of the week, right?
You do. I love that because I'm talking in a more relaxed way, you feel like you have to overcompensate.
I am so freaking
When have you ever led our show you just did?
It sounds like you're a little bit like almost like you're on drugs or something.
I did take a weed blueberry last night.
Ah, you're still high.
So I might still be a little relaxed and high. All right.
That explains it more than you deciding to be.
No, I really was listening to Zach Zimmerman, and he's able to remain funny.
That's his style. This is his style.
Well, I guess what I'm changing up my style.
Why are you trying to be Zach Zimmerman? You are
Cam
Potter.
He sounded so relaxed and confident, and
he doesn't sound boring.
You think I'm boring right now?
Yes.
What's wrong? What is boring you about this?
It's just like monotone.
You're like you're like getting lulled right now.
I'm ready to fall asleep.
Oh.
Is that that's the sound you wanted?
I'm trying to get low, pretty low.
Why don't you narrate meditation tapes? That would be better.
God damn it. I'm sorry, mother.
All right.
Maybe we'll add a new element of humor to us if since you're the complete opposite. All right. Let me read an iTunes review.
Okay.
Okay.
You try to read it with a little enthusiasm and not being a boring, you know what?
No. This is called A Funny and Informative Podcast!
Does Richard Lewis mean anything to you? That's what you sound like right now.
What do you mean I sound like him?
You sound like him. What is that?
This is going to be my new voice from now
on. No, it's not.
If you don't like this voice,
raise your hand. I'm raising my hand.
Unsubscribe to the podcast.
Are you telling people to unsubscribe? We're going to get a lot of unsubscriptions.
Oh, we should talk about the exclusive podcast that we just put out, too.
This is so cool.
We'll get back to this iTunes review. I'm extremely excited about this.
You sound so excited.
So, on Patreon, patreon.com/sextalkwithmymom, we now have an exclusive podcast. It's called Sex Talk with My Patrons, where we put out bonus content that is really exciting and really fun to listen to.
If it's anything like this, people are now snoozing. People who are working on the gym are like going to take a nap somewhere.
It really does. It, for me, it feels like I'm talking from like a completely
monotone state, because you are.
Well, in a completely different register.
Okay.
Well, I'm hoping that these muscles get stronger and I can actually project more.
I'm hoping that you forget about trying to be Zach Zimmerman and be Cam Potter.
Jesus Christ. Okay. All right. Anyway, join Patreon. It's a few dollars a month. You'll get these awesome Patreon bonus episodes.
www.patreon.com/sextalkwithmymom.
Honestly, when we record with someone, we usually ask to record for an additional 5 to 10 minutes after the show. And it's typically everyone's very open. They've already expressed themselves. So we dive into like probably our most vulnerable aspects.
Yeah. Of our interview
with them.
Yeah. We've already worn them down.
And those are our favorite clips. So that will be available to all of our patrons. So patreon.com/sextalkwithmymom.
Cam promises not to talk in this monotone in the future. Promise right now, otherwise you're going to lose all your patrons.
I'd say unsubscribe from Patreon if you don't like this voice.
Oh my God.
All right.
Can I read it? Because you sound like you're ready to die.
I think it's important that
Mr. Weed Blueberry Eater.
I think it's important I read this.
Okay.
This is from Kate5679 from Canada. I love listening to your podcast while I do cat-themed jigsaw puzzles in the evening.
What? Cat-themed jigsaw puzzles. Does she know your sister?
Your mother-son dynamic always has me cracking up, especially in the most recent episode when you were reading the erotica out loud. Hilarious. I hope you do more episodes like that. I really enjoyed it! Exclamation point. Thank you for doing all that you do. Your podcast is one of the best. Smiley face.
I should have read that.
That is hilarious.
It's not hilarious.
How many exclamation points there are.
Really?
And how little it was reflected in my voice just now.
Exactly. None of it was reflected. You know, when it's funny that you say that about exclamation marks.
What would it sound like if you spoke in a lower octave like this?
I am making people bored.
No, that is so not what I sound like.
I am causing people to fall asleep. I am causing people to turn off the podcast and go listen to I'm Sorry Dad, because they have a lot more fun in their voices.
You have no resonance in your voice right now.
I have plenty of resonance.
I
have resonance in my voice.
You have zero resonance or resonance.
Can
in
I
your
talk
voice?
About the exclamation marks that you, when you used to be writing me letters at camp?
Oh.
You would put like 17 everything. Today I went swimming with 17 exclamation marks. We ate hamburgers for lunch with 25 exclamation marks.
You know,
marks.
I still do that. Today I applied for, or I emailed someone to get into their apartment to apply. I'm telling you,
I think you're still fucked up.
No.
You're still high from yesterday. What do you mean? You don't even make sense.
Because I didn't apply for this apartment. I want to apply, but I need to email this guy in order to apply. So I emailed the landlord.
What are you saying?
I emailed a landlord today with several exclamation points.
Okay, thank you. I'm really concerned. And by the way, whatever THC level you took was way too high.
I was out of my fucking gourd.
And you probably took something like equivalent to like someone who's not even... Like you probably took the same as someone took an Advil.
Oh my... Well, the people I, the person I did it with took double the amount and wasn't nearly as fucked up as I was. And I never smoke weed.
I know, but this is not, this is ingesting
weed.
Well,
this is me. This is me actually trying to speak in a lower register.
Okay. Would you give up the lower register shit?
I don't have a lot of muscle strength down there. It just sounds
down where?
Down in the lower diaphragm.
Oh, you're not going to get a dipsy to take you on as an actor with this lower diaphragm thing going on. That,
oh, don't you worry.
Just
eventually
be
they
your
will.
Clown. Okay. Maybe they need a clown in one of the scenes.
This is a phenomenal idea, and I know. Think I'm going to suggest this to them.
Yes.
They need a clown story.
Yes. Well, you already told her you were a mime, and I don't think that's going to be very
Didn't
good
go
for
over well. All right. So I hope you guys, we love this interview with Gina.
It sure sounds
despite,
like it.
Despite it not sounding very exciting in my voice. But stay tuned for a wild ride.
Please, please tell him not to do this, folks.
Yes,
please.
Text mom is
yes,
our number.
Yes, text mom. Tell him to give up.
Yes,
the
text
trying
mom.
To be
Please tell me if you enjoy
Fabio.
This low. It's not Fabio. It's simply a more relaxed version of Cameron. Cameron. Maybe this is Cameron as opposed to Cam.
Can we bring back Camp Hoder, please? Make America great again.
What's with you?
Make
with
erotica
the fucking,
great again.
You're literally, are you a big Trump supporter now? You're constantly trying to get us to label all these episodes, make something great again.
Yeah, it's like, who gives it's a play on words, Cam.
It's a play on words. It literally, the campaign was literally 2 years ago.
And then they tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and the cam in falling asleep. Please.
Gina, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We are so excited to have you. A series of coincidences led us here, and I learned about Dipsy a while ago, so I'm thrilled to bring you on to talk about audio erotica and how you're revolutionizing it.
I'm thrilled too, by the way.
The stars were aligned. We were meant to meet.
That is correct. So just for our listeners, how would you describe Dipsy?
We describe Dipsy as the first audio platform for sexual wellness. And our first real product is an iOS app for short, sexy audio stories.
I love it. So this is amazing because this ties right into Pleasure Podcasts, which is a podcast network all for around sexual wellness.
That Cam started.
Totally. We are audio people.
Audio people talking about sex, opening up that conversation. I love it.
So if you put like 50 Shades of Grey, like the audiobook, would it be similar to what you're doing?
No, it would be pretty different.
What way do you think it would be different?
So a huge part of what we're doing is emphasizing the feeling that you're kind of in the room with people, or like getting to listen in as a voyeur, or pretending that you are the character yourself. And audiobooks are kind of not designed that way. They're just written words that are read by a voice actor. And so it feels like a book that's being read to you versus like an experience that you're having or that you get to kind of peek in on.
Totally.
So it's pretty different.
Yeah. You know what? When I was listening to it, I was thinking, oh, I wonder if this would be fun to role play with my boyfriend.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a fun communication tool too, because you can be like, ooh, did you like that when you're listening with someone? Or like, would you ever, you know, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Or if you're by yourself, it's also cool. Instead of holding a book and having the book drop and all this other things, this way you can just listen and be hands-free.
I was also doing this. Exactly. I was using it while I was brushing my teeth, which was a very...
What?
Yeah, I'm a busy guy. So if I could get aroused while I'm brushing my teeth, it's two for the price of one.
No, this is unbelievable.
You know what? I love it because we talk a lot about like context switching, and like if you're coming home and you're feeling super stressed out, like what a better way to kind of get into your relaxed I'm at home brain and not be your bossy self than listening to some sexy stuff.
Yeah, but why brushing your teeth?
Because some people are very busy.
Multitasking.
Yeah, it was multitasking.
Okay, I thought this has to do with the electric toothbrush idea I had.
So my mother has been wanting to make a vibrator out of electric toothbrush.
And don't say anything more because I'm still in the patenting.
It's proprietary. It's proprietary. I will not take your idea.
Thank you. It is a good idea.
She's been trying to convince my ex-girlfriend to design this product for her so many times. And I'm like, Mom, we don't even have that relationship anymore. You can't keep going back to her asking for this.
But she volunteered and she's good at that stuff. So I thought it would be a good idea. Anyway, back to you.
Back to Dipsy. All right.
How did Dipsy get formed?
Yeah, what made you want to start this?
Yeah, neither my co-founder or I are audio people. We weren't making sexy content. We weren't erotica writers. So a lot of people are like, why did you start this? And honestly, we just wanted it to exist. It was crazy to us that you could ask your friend, like, what kind of vibrator do you like? And even if they didn't have an answer, they'd be like, oh, talk to my friend, you know, Melanie, or talk to Sam. They know the best one. There's always like a recommendation. But if you ask someone,
I'm that person, by the way,
erotic. I love it. Like, people have that person, but very few people are like, oh, here's the perfect erotica for you. Or like, oh my God, this sexy content's so great and fun. Like, no one had that.
You're right.
Hey, do you like have your mom's Stars password so I can watch Outlander? Like, it's grim. The options are grim. And so,
or you go right to porn, right?
Or you go to porn and then you have a, you know, a mixed bag experience. Some people are super happy with that. And some people are like, you know, is this ethical? Why does this make me feel weird? Mm. I don't like those bodies. That room looks like a weird Airbnb in Miami. I don't know. You know, like all sorts of stuff going on, and it's complicated. And, you know, if you're not as visual, it's hard.
Yeah. So are you a big erotica fan?
You know, interestingly, I'm not really. And I think that that perspective coming in kind of fresh was interesting. My co-founder was different. She was a reader of erotica. And I think that that balance was kind of cool. We're not necessarily even hiring a team of people who have a lot of erotica or romance experience is people who like to write and want to get into the brain of what women and their partners want, you know?
Totally. I'm so curious to continue and delve deeper into these questions about the actual stories, but I think our listeners need to hear an example so yes. that we can bring them along on the journey. So would Let's you be willing it. To play a little clip?
I will. Okay. So this is a clip from a story in our app called Feeling Myself Too. And the reason that I'm playing you the second in a series is because it goes right to the good stuff. So we'll just start there.
Love it.
Miles takes in the scene on his couch. I turn back to Petra, kiss her slowly, brushing my fingers against her neck. My lips linger on hers before I turn my attention back to him. I smile, sitting up a bit as he walks towards us.
You made it here quickly.
I didn't want to miss the best after party in town.
Come here.
One sec. I got a playlist I want to put on.
That's so Miles. Always obsessed with the soundtrack. He plugs in his iPhone and hovers over it, scrolling quickly through what I'm sure are thousands of albums.
Miles, we're about to take this to your bedroom without you.
That might kill me.
He comes over and sits between us, and I stare at his profile. Petra's bright smile is slightly out of focus past his face. It's like he needed a second. A pregame ritual, or maybe he's just taking a mental snapshot of the moment. Petra and I don't have to catch eyes to understand. He turns to me first, swings my leg onto his lap, and I toss my hair to one side as he unzips my other boot, fully aware that now both of them are watching me. Two sets of eyes, two different angles. My whole body is pinpricked like I'm cold, but I'm just energized. My stomach is knotted and kind of nervous, excited. A little like before a test, you know you're gonna ace. I'm eager to just kiss them both, maybe at once, see what that's like. But I'm also glad Miles is already setting the tone for us to move slow. Petra's energy supercharges everything, and she starts mirroring him. While his hands rub my bare legs slowly, she puts her hand to his arm and starts to squeeze and press. Miles rolls his neck towards her, leaning into the pressure.
Do you like it there?
A little higher. Closer to my... Yeah. Yeah, oh my God, that feels good.
Remember massage trains? Like when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah. Middle school was just making up a weird amount of excuses to touch each other.
All right, you're getting some foreplay there.
Heavy duty foreplay.
Thank you very much for sharing that.
Woo!
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so, oh man, where do we begin? So, first of all, who wrote this and who performed it?
So, we work as kind of the creative hub for a network of freelance writers and freelance voice actors. We work with a ton of people all over the country, actually all over the world, who give us their diverse, you know, fantasies and ideas and stories, and then voice actors that, you know, can really capture the believability of the moment, because that's what really matters, right? Like that you believe that it's happening, that right. it feels authentic.
Yeah. I remember the first time I listened to a Dipsy story, I was like, I had such an interesting experience because at first...
Well, you were brushing your teeth.
That was part of it.
You were trying to listen over the buzz.
Yeah. I was, part of me realized, oh, wait, I have to actually work in this situation. It's not like porn where it's just like my attention is immediately grabbed and I'm like, it's more like a book or watching a movie, you know, where I'm actually conjuring up images here as opposed to having,
for sure.
You know?
I love that observation. Like, I think imagination is the factor here. We're just like giving you a better way to use your imagination.
Absolutely.
It's like we're like giving you a path to walk down, and then it'd be almost, imagine how cool it would be if we asked 10 different people to listen to a story and then draw a picture of what it would
yeah.
be.
Yeah.
Like how different that would look.
Yeah.
It would be amazing.
Like what were you imagining? Like what were you imagining Miles to look like? Because we don't know. I had first conjured an image and then I changed it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so what did you think? Like, what? How did you imagine him?
Like a guy from like Trinidad or something.
Trinidad.
Like a big black guy. I don't know. He just sounded like very like handsome and manly.
Suave. He's a nice deep voice.
Yeah.
What do you imagine, Cam?
Maybe something similar, well-dressed with a buzz cut for some reason.
Love why it. A buzz cut?
I don't know. That's why. That's the image that came.
That's amazing.
What were you thinking?
Well, I'm a little close to it, so it's hard to get away from it.
So you know who the actual actor was?
I don't know if I've seen a picture of the actor, so I guess I don't know what they look like. But I guess I'm imagining muscly, but not in a show-offy way, kind of athletic and casual. Just like a cool guy, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what we wanted to sound like.
Definitely. So there's an author of this thing, and then you'd put a listing for someone to voice over this?
Yeah, exactly. We put out a casting call, or we work with someone that is already part of our database. And we're like, hey, we think that you'd be perfect for this role.
Oh, interesting.
Or as we're writing something, we're like, ooh, this would be great for this voice actor. And then we might modify a little bit to make it perfect for them.
So, you know, if you ever are looking for a neurotic Jewish man.
Like a Woody Allen type?
30 years old.
Listen, I exclusively date Jewish men. I think they're highly erotic people. Yeah. I love it.
Well, if you need Cam.
You can be on if you want Cam.
Yeah.
And such, especially once to do miming. He's really good at that.
That would not be good for audio.
Miming is challenging on audio.
Yeah.
A mime story would be hard.
Part of me was interested, when I started listening the first time, part of me kept, you know, I was going into the conjuring up images, and then part of me would get taken out sometimes, and I'd be like, wait a minute, this is not reality. There's an actor playing this. And then I started feeling like, oh wow, someone is actually like playing this sexual fantasy out. And part of me was embarrassed for them, which is like my own shame and shit coming out.
What are you talking about? You felt shame about what?
I was like, oh my God, I don't know if I actually have the confidence to play that type of character. Just because I feel uncomfortable.
That's so empathetic. I think that's like such deep empathy.
Are you sure it's pathetic or empathetic?
Yeah, thank you for looking at the positive in that.
No, I think, you know, what's different about this from porn, besides, you know, a million other things that I could go down a laundry list on, is that like no sex is happening to make this content.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's inherently kind of performative, and that takes away a lot of the, you know, ethically clunky stuff that we started talking about earlier with porn.
Totally.
And I think that makes people feel a lot safer listening to it. But for sure, these actors are definitely, you know, giving us orgasm sounds, and they probably haven't done that before, you know, like we are their first in that way.
It's also so much more intimate because it goes directly into your ears, as opposed to like, you're focusing in a different way, I think, than if you're just watching something
or reading
like
a
porn.
Book.
Yeah.
I want to capture all your sound bites, Cam. They're like literally perfect. You use the word imagination, you use the word intimate.
You could download this podcast episode afterwards and cut it all up.
And also,
exactly.
I need to get some sound bites in too. I just want you to know that when I was growing up, so when I was like a horny teenager or whatever, I didn't have any access to anything other than like Nancy Friday's My Secret Garden or, you know, those erotica. So I would read a lot of erotica. A lot.
Awesome.
I mean, I have dog-eared pages from all the books that I used to read because there wasn't anything else available. And it was, to me, so much better because you can really imagine everything in your head as as opposed to like seeing it in a visual in porn.
Did you like learn about sex that way? Or was it more like when you were already like a sexually active person, you just like thought it was pleasurable?
Well, I think Forbidden Flowers and My Secret Garden are based on women all over the world's fantasies. So each chapter was like a different, like one would be like, you know, a rape room, or one would be a animal room, or a lesbian room, or they named different rooms like that, which are, you know, to me, the fantasies, no matter what they are, they're all good, you know, because they're fantasies, whether or not they're kinky or whatever, it's not for me to judge. But it opened my eyes that you know, people can have all these fantasies and be normal.
Yeah, there's a legacy with erotica that's really good, which is like the idea that fantasy should be a part of sex, the idea that women should experience pleasure, right? Like female pleasure is way more in the middle or centered in romance than it is in porn, like no question. So if I had to have a high schooler learn about sex via an erotica novel or via porn, I'd definitely choose the novel.
How do you choose which stories to publish and put on the app?
It's a great question. You know, anytime you make content, you're making a couple calls around what's on brand for you, what's exciting for listeners to hear, what the kind of strength of the story is. Like if a character is super lovable, that's amazing. If a sex scene is super hot, that's amazing. If it's in a setting that's like really immersive and we can totally sound design it to make it feel like you're, you know, in a casita on the beach in Tulum, amazing.
Right.
Like, but let's find something that really hooks a listener.
Yeah. I mean, would you ever put anything as like anything like super kinky or even like taboo, like a rape scene or a fantasy like that?
That's a great question. We talk about kink a lot and we are definite believers in not yucking anyone's yum. But we also think that there is something to be said about reflecting sexuality positively, and we do draw some lines. Mm-hmm. And so one of those things being like, you'll see and you'll hear in almost all of our stories, consent is very, very specific. Like people literally ask each other, like, do you like that? Can I do this?
Yeah.
And so we might play with some sort of dominance in that way within the context of like, you know, consent, like let's role play, but that's probably the boundary that we put it in to make it feel again like super safe for our listeners.
Yeah, I did notice that when I was listening the first time, I was like, oh wow, there's a heavy emphasis on two things that I don't think exist in most porn or audio, like porn that I've ever listened to. One is that there's a strong desire and emphasis on the person desiring the other, both partners desiring each other. And the other is the context, like what is it going on? Where are they? Like, why would it matter that it's a cold, frigid day that is going on outside of this yoga studio, you know?
Yeah, totally. Like, cause that's sensory, right? You're like, you know exactly what it feels like to like jump into a hot tub and then jump into snow. Like we all know what that feels like.
Right.
And so to bring that kind of stuff into a story makes it extra like body physical, which I think is super cool and something we try and do a lot.
I'd like to take a quick second to thank our sponsor, Open Fit. Now, Mother, I will tell you of a recent debacle.
What?
I went to the gym. I'm feeling all confident. Like I'm about to gain some freaking muscle. There's a beautiful, beautiful women around me. And men, for that matter. And I go to work out, and I just have no clue what the hell I'm doing.
Yeah, that's the worst part, when you don't know what you're doing.
I had no instruction. I was like phoning it in.
And it looks like everyone else knows what they're doing except for you. So
that's exactly right.
What are we going to do about this situation?
My first thought was like, oh, go look up YouTube videos. But I don't know who the hell is teaching these YouTube videos.
I've tried doing that. That doesn't work.
OpenFit is basically an online library of videos that you can stream at the gym or in your home that don't even require any weights or anything.
And they're not just for bulking up. Some of them are like yoga classes.
They have bar. They have 10-minute workouts. I mean, it's really tremendous. This is the place if you want to live a healthier lifestyle and you don't want to pay that much money.
And lose weight, by the way.
You get all these awesome videos and a nutritional blog at OpenFit.
And right now, during the OpenFit 30-day challenge, our listeners get a special extended 30-day free trial membership to OpenFit, where you can lose up to 15 pounds in 30 days when you text SEXTALK to 303030.
You'll get full access to all their workouts and nutritional information totally free. Just text SEXTALK to 303030.
What do you got to lose except weight? I kept thinking about like, so you wouldn't... Nancy Friday actually was much more risque than what these are going to be like, these little vignettes.
I also think it's a different time than when Nancy Friday was created.
Nancy Friday is, to me, the fantasies are the same as they would have been, you know, 80 years ago or whatever it was. So what I'm asking is, like, because you said you're very conscious of the sex positivity and everything, so you're not going to really go to the extremes like that people have done in like Nancy Friday's books or things like that.
Well, I don't know Nancy Friday's stuff, so it's hard for me to say, but we definitely go through sex. Like, there's not like a stopping right at the point where something revs up between characters. Like, we definitely take you through climax. Sometimes we even like have breakfast with the characters after, you know, like we take you through like the full experience. But we definitely rate our stories in a way that you kind of know what you're going to get. So if you click a story that's a one fire, maybe that's more of a toothbrush story. And then if you click a story that's like a five flame, you're like probably want to be in bed.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't realize that's what the flames meant. I thought that was like how it was like a star rating, but I guess that's not the case.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, that's good to know. Good feedback.
I was saying more in terms of like the kink areas of what Nancy Friday's stories are like.
What do you want to hear, Mom?
I know. I'm just, I want to know where the boundaries are.
Yeah, I know. I think it's a really great question. So we have a story right now that we're creating that's related to shibori, which is Japanese kind of rope play.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's like, you know, definitely in the world of kink. Oh, you know.
I'm familiar with shibori.
Emphatic. Oh, yeah. I love it.
So we're
doing a shibori story. Like, I think that's firmly in kink worlds, but we're just making, you know, thoughtful choices around how we do that.
Yeah,
I was just wondering about the, you know, like how far you'd go before you'd be like, this is not going
to
be.
I mean, they also have to appeal to a wide, like the masses, basically.
Yeah.
They can't, you know, it's not like an app for footies or something like that. So they can't have all stories about feet fetishes.
Exactly.
Like, I know you want, mother.
What do you mean?
We're trying to just like spread it out, you know, for sure.
Yeah.
There are a couple of BDSM ones though that you should listen to if you are like interested in that kind of range of it. We have a couple that are
nailed me on that one. No, I'm thinking about when I was reading Nancy Friday's books, they were so astounding to me because they're fantasies. And you can't I don't know if I'd want to watch it in porn, you know, that because I don't think I'd like to see some of the stuff that I was reading. So reading is safer. But I also think that but I don't know, you're kind of like in the middle of porn and the actual novel.
I was sorry, do you want to respond to that?
No, I think you, to combine your two points, Cam, you mentioned that audio is super intimate. It's like up close in your ear.
Mm-hmm.
Like that can mean that if you're in like a particularly intense sexual moment, you can be like, whoa, that's like a lot of something. I'm feeling a lot of something. And so that's really cool because we have a lot of power to kind of like play with sensuality and sexuality, but it also means you have to be careful about not like totally like sensory overloading you, or at least setting the expectation that we're going to do that in a story so you're not like, holy crap.
Yeah, well, I think we should offer our listeners right now a sensory overload just to give a comparison. So a while ago, maybe within the first few months of us podcasting, which was like 3 years ago, we interviewed a phone sex operator named Chloe Love, and we were just talking about her life and what it's like to be a phone sex operator. She's brilliant, and she gave us like a beautiful interview about it.
And we did this via Skype with Cam and I being in different locations and Chloe being in a third location. So there's all of us, but we could see each other. Cam and I could see each other, but we couldn't see Chloe, and she couldn't see us.
Because she was anonymous, because she's a phone sex operator.
Were you like wide-eyed staring at each other through the screen?
We were just having a nice conversation until the very end, where she mentioned that when she goes onto podcasts, she often has an orgasm and demonstrates what it's like to experience phone sex with her. So I asked her. I was curious what that sounds like.
Yeah. I was closing up the interview, and all of a sudden Cam goes, well, do you think you mind like letting us know what this sounds like?
And she's okay,
you gotta ask.
All right, so I'm gonna play that clip just to remind our listeners what it's like. And this is from episode.
All right, let's do it.
Hold, strap in. We're gone for a wild ride.
Very
five flames.
Very real.
This is from
five flames. This is like a 10 flamer.
Episode 22: Phone Sex and Live Orgasm, Part 2.
Well, anyway, thank you so much.
Wait, before
you had another question.
Well, Chloe, you mentioned that you've done orgasms on other people's podcasts. Are you comfortable doing that for us?
Sure, if you want. I might have to get a toy, but here, let me get on my. I'm in my office chair, so let me get on my knees first, so I have a little bit better access to my pussy.
Cam, I'm so impressed.
I never go into an interview thinking, "Oh, I'm going to come," but I'm always game. So, okay, first, I always describe like. I'm touching my pussy, and it's really wet. I'm just rubbing my clit in big circles. Okay, all right. Okay, now I'm already so turned on. It won't take much. Okay. Are you ready, Cam?
Yep. I think we should end there.
Wait. Are you ready, Cam? Yup.
Gina, I forgot how awkward it actually is.
We have to be awkward again. It's like a double
thank
awkwardness.
You for bearing with us.
I love
us.
Your yup. That was so great.
Yup.
Yeah. You know what? I'm ready. Yup. Let's do it.
So awkward. And again, I did not realize, I forgot just how uncomfortable it is to experience that alongside my mother.
I had my hands over my eyes. It was just, I couldn't.
I have to keep remembering that you two are sitting next to each other.
Yes.
And you are mother and son. Like, I have to keep reminding myself of that, because to me, like, I've heard so much audio orgasm lately that, like, that doesn't strike me as like that crazy. But
oh, good.
What I'm struck by is that she came really quick.
Yeah, she
me
did.
Too. I know.
And we asked her about that afterwards, and we're like, "What is going on there? How did you do it so quickly?" And she's like, "Part of being, she's like very voyeuristic. So most times when she's doing a podcast, she's especially turned on, because she knows she's being perceived by the audience." And
ooh,
she said,
"That's really cool."
Yeah, and she said, especially because it was mother and son, it was like even more taboo.
Oh God.
Oh my God. Wow. I mean, you know what? That's cool that she can be that open. And
hey, you know
that
what?
She can orgasm that quick.
You should give her a call. You might need her for the next audio.
So,
well, you know what I was thinking? Her voice is awesome.
She's unbelievable.
You should definitely contact her.
It's pretty cool. I might.
You might want.
Maybe
to
you
do
want
that.
Cam and her.
That did you hear the chemistry between us?
Your yup was super sexy.
Yep.
Definitely want that in Dipsy.
Yep. Yeah. You sounded just like Miles. Let me tell you. Yep.
Cam, are you ready? Yup.
And her, by the way, her noises were distinct. There's no one that makes those. I've never orgasmed and made those kind of squeaky noises. Sound like a guinea pig.
Everyone is so different. It's crazy. Like we all sound different anyway. Our voices are different anyway. But then the sounds that we make experiencing pleasure are all so diverse. Like if you ask again, like let's do the 10 people thing. If you ask 10 people what they sound like while they orgasm, you would hear like a symphony or maybe a cacophony. It'd be like just like the craziest. Like,
yeah.
Some people like are squeakier and some people are groanier and like. It's
some people use words like yes.
Yeah.
Someone did that this show the other day.
But Chloe sounded like a guinea pig, I'm telling you. Yep.
All right, you need to make fun of her.
No, that's what she sounded like. I mean that, but it was real.
It was
so
very intense.
The question is, Gina, you're still using actors. They're not really having orgasms, are they?
Yeah, no one's having orgasms, no one's having sex. But I think when you are like doing a convincing job acting, you definitely need to get yourself in a headspace where you're feeling something a little bit. You know what I mean? So
I agree.
I think it's
sure.
The whole experience for me of listening to Dipsy, it taught me like a very subtle arousal. Like it wasn't like I was fucking full boner, like ready to go. It was just, it was a much more, maybe it was the story I was listening to, but it was like a much more subtle, oh, I'm in the mood type experience, as opposed
to
like.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think it'd be.
I love
such,
hearing about the kind of dude experience.
Yeah,
honestly.
That's what
I
was.
That's
exactly what I was going to say. It's hearing from a guy listening to it is different. I would think this, and I may be wrong, Gina, but does this appeal more to women or men or both?
So the genesis of the idea was for sure like this is something that is what women need because women are super underserved in this space. But what we've been pleasantly surprised by is it's not just women saying, you know, hey, honey, hubby, whoever, partner, would you listen with me? It's actually men coming onto the platform too and either finding that they like it themselves solo or they're like the ones that are saying like, hey, honey, would you listen to this with me? Because like a lot of people have tried porn together and it doesn't always work. And this is a really cool foreplay tool. And so I've been kind of psyched talking to people who are using it in ways that I didn't even imagine.
Yeah,
I think it's awesome that you're doing this because that's like one of our number one questions: how can I spice up my sex life? And this is a great tool.
Yeah, how do you get in the mood?
This is
getting
a perfect,
in the mood can be hard.
Yeah. And I will
and
say
it's fun.
My experience listening to like phone sex like that, like what on the podcast, but I did some research prior to this interview just to see what it's like if I'm just listening to phone sex of like other people.
Were you brushing your
teeth?
There was
like a podcast a while ago called Peach Booth where they would play real phone sex clips.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah, and that's it affected me in a much different way where it was like, you know, I felt sensations in my stomach. Like it was like I was started to sweat. It was like a very physical experience.
Like in a good way or a bad way?
It's just different. Like, I think with Dipsy, it was more like a very subtle getting into the mood. Like I could then go and have sex with someone. Whereas with the Peach Booth, I was like ready to fucking come immediately.
And oh, whoa. Okay.
It was really intense.
So I think what you're describing is that the hearing someone orgasm is extremely powerful. And I think if you think about with partners, like with couples having sex, so many times one of the people is like, could you just express that you're like enjoying yourself? Like, can you let me know
totally.
That you're like having a good time?
That
and like
alive?
The best way to do that is to verbalize, you know? And so I think we're almost like hardwired to like that sound in a way that we don't necessarily like the sound of like kissing, for example. Like kissing can sound kind of wet and like eh.
Yeah.
But like when you're listening to someone like moan with pleasure, you really something happens. Like the way you described it is perfect. It's very visceral.
Yeah.
And we're really excited for our stories to get really, you know, deeper into the idea of what sound effects do and what the sound of bed sheets moving does, and like not just doing the narrative, but like really putting you in a sound environment. And we're getting better and better at that. But like that feeling, I think, is really cool and something that the hottest stories should definitely be accomplishing for people, you know?
Yeah. Well, here's what I'll say. Like, so while there was like that physical sensation for Peach Booth, I didn't experience any imagery. Like there was no imagination being like my imagination faculties were not being exercised whatsoever. And so the following day I didn't remember anything related to Peach Booth. Like I wrote down, like, I think she said playing with his balls several times, but that was about it. And then for Dipsy, I had this whole storyline that I was able to go back to that kind of was like a reminder for me. So it was a completely different experience. I mean, it's like watching porn in the sense of like listening to audio porn versus watching like a really erotic movie and having that story with you.
Or soft porn.
Yeah.
Soft porn.
Right.
In
exactly.
The day versus like.
I kind of wish that we had a woman like, so Karen Lee, have you listened to a Dipsy story or no?
Yeah. I mean, okay. I listened to just a little sample, so I didn't get to hear the whole, you know, anything all the way through.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I would love to hear kind of, it would be really cool to talk to both a man and a woman, you know, just like the two different sides of experience. Like, I'd be interested in hearing the same story, what the reactions were.
Well, it would have been nice if Cam had given me some of his credits.
Oh,
he used all his credits up.
Yeah, I mean, what do you typically? It was what I'm describing different than what most women describe or what you would experience.
I think that it really varies story by story. So I would expect that someone who's listening to a less explicit story that's like more focused on the connection between characters, the will they, won't they, the like, you know, is it going to happen now or later? Like the kind of more plot driven stuff is not necessarily going to make you feel like your like stomach gets a sensation, but the hottest stuff definitely is something that people use in bed solo. We call it a menage a moi, which is just think is like,
that is so
like
fun
solo in bed. And that should definitely get you to the place where you're like, you know, excited.
Yeah.
Well, so, I'm excited. I'm excited because the reason I'm excited is because it literally, until recently, I had forgotten about how much I love those, like Nancy Friday, and you know, what's the one we read recently? Anise Nin. Yeah. You know, this I remember reading The Sensual Woman and some other erotic stories, and they went as soon as I got involved with porn, I didn't bother with that anymore. I just go watch porn, you know, and not even like, you know,
you're not being so mindful.
Yeah, I'm not. I was not. I'm not being a Buddhist porn watcher.
That's right.
Yeah,
I would imagine the Venn diagrams between Buddhists and porn watchers is probably not as strong as others that we could make.
I was so curious to know if you knew anything about like studies or anything that's going on in the brain if you're listening to porn versus or watching porn versus erotica or something like this.
So I don't know much research that's been done comparing audio and visual erotica or porn, but I do know that they've done a lot of studies that show that women really aren't visually aroused or stimulated the way that men are when they watch porn. There's a lot of different reasons for that, and that totally hasn't been super parsed out, but context is a huge one of them. Like, women are way more contextually thoughtful and aware.
Totally.
And so like, if the bed looks clean, that like is something that they're thinking about, and whether the sweat on their back looks natural, and like whether the cum like scene seems like authentic and like, you know, not upsetting or degrading to the woman. Like, those are all things that a woman is thinking about.
Yeah.
And men just want to see banging.
Yeah.
Yeah. Men are looking for like, you know, close up boobs. Like, they want to like see it, you know, and that's a little bit different. Like, women almost want the wide view. Like, what else is going on?
Yeah.
I taught 100% agreed always, you know, when I first started watching porn, even the way my husband and I perceived it was completely like, he would just like fast forward over the intro and just go right to the sex. And I'd be like, wait a second. Yeah. I want to hear what happened with the fireman. What the hell happened?
Yeah. You're like, did they fall in love, or are they just like a one night stand?
Were there two of them? What happened?
You know what was interesting with, just to go back to this Peach Booth experience where I was
Peach Booth experience. Well, it was just in the name of research.
Yeah, in the name of research. I actually didn't love a part of it where it somehow became, in one of the clips, it became like kind of racist. And like, I was like, what the fuck is happening right now? Like, what? You know, like, I don't want to hear that at all. And I think that can often happen with porn, actually, where maybe it's not racism always, but it can get hyper-violent or...
Right.
And it becomes less...
That's what I liked, you know, about when you're reading a book, you can get hyper-violent and still feel safe, where you're watching this stuff and you're like, oh my intense. God, is this poor girl getting, like, you know, is this a real actual... You know, it is scary. Yeah. You're not really sure what's going on. It's like, real people that are getting hurt.
They're on camera because they're real people having sex. You know, it's like a very different setting. And when you're watching someone that like looks like they're not enjoying sex, that means that they're actually having sex and not enjoying it. Like, that's like really real. And I think that we really empathize with that person on screen. And we're like, ooh, get out of there. Like, are you okay?
Yeah. I mean, and that's for, I don't want to yuck anyone's yum. I know a lot of people are probably interested in that. It just doesn't work for me. Like, I think I empathize too much with the person getting beat up, and I'm like, no, stop, you know. But some people, that's not to say you're wrong if you do like this, listener.
Yeah,
100%. And we definitely, you know, you and I talked about this, Cam, before I came on, the idea of whether this is like a replacement of porn or an addition to porn. And I think it's obvious that like porn is hugely, hugely successful. There are plenty of people that are very satisfied with that experience. And that's awesome. People should get their jollies how they get their jollies, especially when it's done, you know, ethically and well. But I think from our perspective, a lot of people aren't responding to that content. And it's kind of crazy that in all this, you know, sexual wellness boom that we're having, where people are making really awesome vibrators and way better sex ed that, you know, exists in our high schools, you know, like, it's great that people are doing that, but no one was focused on trying out new forms, new mediums, and new kinds of erotica. And so
it's going to bring back erotica.
Yeah, it does feel like a resurgence of erotica,
which I love.
Yep.
And the other thing I was going to say is, I remember when 50 Shades of Grey first came out, like, all my friends that are in their 40s and 50s are reading it, and they're like hiding it. And then some guys were saying, well, we're reading it just because we want to know what's going to turn on our women. And
love
so
it
like legitimized men like reading erotica, because that was never a big thing.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking of even just experiencing Dipsy. I'm like, whoa, I didn't realize how important context is. And like the details that you guys make sure to include, like they're lighting candles, or, you know, the temperature, or where the hands are placed. Like, these are things that I don't really think too much about, that now I'm like, whoa, maybe I should, this is obviously important. Otherwise they wouldn't be including it. I might as well take some time to think about it.
And I want to know what was on Miles's playlist.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great example.
I want to know. Like, was he listening to Marvin Gaye? What did he end up with?
It's also funny because when we're in the room really editing these stories and making sure that they feel really believable, we come upon these things that are so like context specific and we're like, is this right? And like a great example of that is like two characters go to a restaurant and they have a big meal and they go home and they, you know, start doing naughty stuff. And we're like, do they want to do that when they just ate two cheeseburgers? And we're like, let's not have them eat that. And it's like this really funny thing where we like pay attention to like how people feel and like when people feel sexy and like, it's probably not, you know, actually that hot to have sex in the snow. You know, that sounds hot, but it's actually not.
Yeah. In reality, cold. It's totally freaking freezing.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's some shrinkage. So, you know,
yeah, exactly.
Where do you think the future of Dipsy will take you?
We would love to be the place that people go for their sexual wellness, like kind of own that space. And so I think that involves inspiration. I think that involves education. I think that's kind of a place to get some answers in, you know, how to connect more with your partner. Like, we really want to own that space and be that single destination. And having an app, you know, we are on a podcast, we are an app, allows us to make an experience. So even though we're not a visual company, we're primarily audio, like we have a place to go, you know, mm-hmm. And that's exciting. And we would hope that, you know, people want to put us on the front screen of their iPhones and not the back because we're design forward. You know, it feels a little bit different than a lot of the stuff that exists before us.
Totally. I love it.
You could teach too. I mean, literally you could teach.
They have guided.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying you could teach men and women like how to be better lovers. You know, if you can teach a guy that just start teasing a woman first and don't go right down to the, you know, the pussy immediately, you know, because that's typically what you see in porn.
Yep, exactly.
We always ask this at the end of every podcast is, did you ever walk in on a parent having sex or vice versa?
Oh my gosh, I probably have, but then blocked it out immediately.
You can do a little Dipsy about it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah,
that'll be our real foray into niche content.
Yeah, seriously.
Niche content. You know what? I have like it's bringing up a vague memory for me, but I'm not really sure if it's real or a dream. And that's kind of interesting. It must've been, I was super young, but I kind of blocked it out. I don't have a strong memory. You know, I think my brain did me good and blocked it out.
All right. Yeah. And have they walked in on you at all or no?
Oh man. Yes. Actually, that did happen to me once in high school.
And was, is there a story there?
So I used to have a room that the door kind of like opened up to one part and the bed was kind of hidden from the door. So you could technically like walk in and like not see the bed yet. It was kind of around the corner. And my brother opened the door, was in the room, was having a conversation with me while I had snuck my boyfriend into the house. Oh, and I was like having a full conversation, just hoping he wouldn't round the corner, hoping, and he didn't.
Oh,
so it was all good.
Shit.
The story ends
there. That is great.
It was awesome.
I'm assuming you both were naked.
We were both naked. Oh, we were very naked. And my brother doesn't know that story, so hopefully he's not listening.
Why? What would he do? Honestly, what would the end of the world be?
True, for sure.
Well,
especially with what you do for a living. I don't think he's going to be that shocked.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. My family's had to get more comfortable with a lot of things.
For our listeners, do you have anything you'd like to plug? How do they find Dipsy?
And how did you get the name Dipsy? Or did I miss that?
No, we didn't talk about that. So my co-founder and I are both East Coasters. We moved out to San Francisco and that's where we met each other. And Dipsy is kind of a famous Bay Area landmark. It's a trail in the Bay Area. And so it's where we met. Oh. We like the idea of like dipping your toe into a sea of stories. You can kind of dive in or you can just dip a toe.
Love it. What a visual.
And we are in the iOS store right now. So you can get us on your iPhones. We will be rolling out a web app very soon for our Android friends and for people who want to listen from their browsers. Search Dipsy, search Sexy Audio Stories. You'll find us. We'll come up.
Sweet. And it's Dipsea.
That's it. Exactly.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Gina.
Yeah, Gina.
Yeah.
This has been
wonderful. Thanks for having me.
You rock.